This guy used to be a Muslim, but you're a Christian convert.
It could be extreme Christian.
So why were you baptized in 2004 as a Christian? But
it
why?
Was a symbolic
why would you
thing.
Do that?
I did not
attacking people on the attacking millions of Americans because they're Muslims. It's disgusting.
And I get baptized every day. I have been a yoga practitioner for almost 15 years. I haven't been to a church for 15 years.
That's another like boogeyman term, like Sharia.
Exactly.
They're trying to implement Sharia here. And those things that you listed are destroying this country.
Totally.
Why do you identify as a Christian then?
What is Christian? What denomination? I don't pray for anything.
Science also says nothing poofs into existence out of nothing.
It was, no, really, it was like an amazing shock to me because they believe in God. Have you ever been over there? Have you ever met these people?
When Hitler was going after them, so he's their follower. Many say he's an agent.
I suggest you leave now before the Crusades really start. All right?
Bismillah, alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum, greens of peace. Welcome to the Dean Show. Special guest in the Dean Show studio, Dr. Daniel. He's back here, McBride, Hall of Famer, went to Catholic school, Christian college, spent a good portion of his life studying Christianity, author of Who's Right, Who's Wrong, and Why, doctor of the brain, chiropractor. Assalamu alaikum, how are you?
Well, alaikum salam, alhamdulillah, everything's great.
How you been? It's been a
awesome.
While.
Brother, I gotta tell you, I'm so glad to be back. You are probably, mashallah, you're probably the best interview I've ever come across.
Alhamdulillah.
I got to tell you that.
Thank you.
Up front, mashallah.
Thank you very much. I want to get into this video. Tucker Carlson, you're from Florida, Pompano.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think Tucker Carlson, he's also in the Florida area, correct?
He's supposed to be down here.
Yeah. Have you ever met him? You know who he is?
Yes, I know. Oh, I know who he is.
Okay.
No, I've never met him.
So we're going to go ahead and play this video from Tucker, and then we'll go ahead and open up the talk from there.
Oh, alhamdulillah.
Most people agree with that. Most Americans have more in common with each other than they disagree on. And almost everybody agrees on that. And almost everybody is willing to tolerate a good faith argument about how to get there. Except a few. And they're the ones running around calling everyone an anti-Semite. But everyone else is like, yeah, of course, that should be the debate. And they'll vote for you. They want that because they know they haven't had that. That's the fact. And what you're watching now, attacking millions of Americans because they're Muslims? It's disgusting. And I'm a Christian. I'm not a Muslim. I know there's a lot of effort to claim I'm a secret jihadi. I'm not. You should not attack people on those grounds. And you're seeing it from Republicans. What the hell are you doing? What you're doing is trying to divide the country. And I've lived through 50 years of this crap. All these fake race wars that they're always promoting. Oh, go hate each other while we loot the treasury. That's exactly what's going on. And most people are totally sick of that. So, yes, there is a possibility for a huge coalition of decent people once they free their minds from the traps set for them by others and realize, wait a second, we all want to make this country better. And the 15% or 30% who don't, okay. You know, good luck in Maryland or wherever you wind up. But the rest of us would like to fix it.
This kind of goes into the climate, what's happening, and you can see Tucker, he's talking about the attack basically on Muslims. Mm-hmm. He actually, in other videos, he's called it an op. What do you think?
Oh, he's spot on. It's literally, as my family and I talk about religion all the time, and you and I have mentioned it before, how do you attack a religion or a group of people, Muslims, us, how do you attack us when we are against pornography, we're against pedophilia, we're against alcohol abuse, we're against alcohol, we're against gambling, we're against pornography, we're against corruption, and they're attacking us. And like you started the conversation, the idea is the devout Christians, the college I went to, I've never been a drinker, and it was even before I accepted Islam, it wasn't a big thing with me. And I was surprised to attend my college and they were considered what we called a teetotaler college, meaning it was against the rules to have alcohol on campus. They didn't want you going off campus to drink. As Muslims and Christians, we have more in common, like Tucker said, than we do differences. Traditionally, and what they preach, there's no pedophilia, but we see it all the time. We're in common ground with them. We don't like murder. The Ten Commandments fit us, don't they? But then if they want to put it in schools, the people that Tucker's criticizing, we got to figure out when to apply which of the 10 at any given moment by the people that are running this country.
And that's why you wrote the book, because the title says it all. Who's right, who's wrong, and why? And this is actually what we're seeing. They think they're right. We think we're right. Who's right? Exactly. Who's wrong here? And it's only when you sit and talk with Muslims and you see the commonalities that we have. I mean, you just listed some of the things that are destroying society, and yes. Then they want to kind of gaslight and be like, no, it's the Muslims here.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And thank God we're Muslims, because...
What does it mean? Let's define that term. What does that mean? When you say Muslim, someone thinks, look, how is this white guy Muslim? This doctor, how is he Muslim? You're an American.
Totally. A white American at the age of 35. I could tell you... August 24th, 1995 is when I made my Shahada. Mm-hmm. And the idea is that the commonality is what made me do it. I literally, if I can jump into that, I literally decided while I was in chiropractic school that if I'm going to believe in God, I got to find the right way to worship Him. And as a Catholic, I was raised, God's all-powerful, all-knowing, all-everything, right? God is God. God created everything. We totally disagree as Muslims with the idea that He had to rest on the sixth day or seventh day, whatever it is. God needing rest was pretty interesting. But the idea is that God created everything. God started everything. Everything is from Allah, and we are done. It made sense to me. Then I had to understand, being a Catholic, Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners. Why, if God is all-knowing, God is all-powerful, God did everything, why did I learn a prayer in Catholic school that taught me to ask somebody else to help me out? Mm-hmm. And then the idea that when I accepted Islam, learning that Jesus was that important, seeing His name as much as I did reading the Quran before I accepted Islam. So praying in Jesus' name, asking for anything in Jesus' name, doesn't make sense. If truly Christians, for me, if we were raised to believe God is all-powerful, all-everything, El-Ilah, right? The God, the one, then why am I directing any attention to anyone else to achieve things? And the Quran was clear. I got about halfway through it, and I recognized most of the names, Moses, Aaron, Abraham, Ishmael, Isaac, Sarah, Hagar. Everybody was in there. Jesus, Mary. I learned the name of Mary's father, Imran, and the whole chapter on that family. I learned that John was his cousin and his Zechariah was his Jesus' uncle in the Quran.
So, and you spent your whole life, a good portion of your life, studying Christianity.
Going right through college. Like I said, my undergraduate school, they required us to attend what they called convocation. And I got graded on attending the religious-oriented, different subjects, but religious-oriented teaching. And they were even stricter than, nicer in a way, though, but the teetotaling side. Everybody, Americans know that. Teetotaling, the strictness. There was, you know, you couldn't have, like public universities now have co-ed dorms and co-ed floors. Mm-hmm. Unbelievable to me that the boys and girls share bathrooms. My school...
Share bathrooms?
These co-ed dorms.
Yeah.
They share bathrooms.
Men and the women?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's come a long way.
You can...
Is that the American way?
Not this American.
Because they often say, look, these Muslims, they don't want to assimilate. They don't want to come to the American way. So we want to go back to the real way, the organic way, the way of Jesus, Moses. They
yes.
they wouldn't be sharing bathrooms with
at
men
all.
And women and having 101 genders.
What? Exactly. You got the story of Moses. What does Moses do? Even in the Bible, mm-hmm. Moses goes over. I like the Quranic version of Moses in his entirety more, obviously. But Moses sees the girls, helps them. We know this. This is us too. Mm-hmm. He helps them. And then he leaves because the women had to wait to water their cattle, their sheep, their herd for the men to leave. So Moses says, I'm going to go over and help you. He helps them. He leaves. And then the two sisters tell their father about this great guy that was real polite and mannerly. Moses is not sharing a bathroom with these girls. Mm-hmm. He didn't just sit there and wait, and he didn't clear the way so that they could do it. He went over and did it so that he could honor the fact that they didn't want to intermingle with people. So this is literally, that's our thoughtfulness and our respect for each other's opinions too. He didn't ask them who they were. He didn't ask them what their belief system was. He just went over and honored their belief.
What did they mean when they say they keep this mantra keeps being put our way of life? What does that mean?
I got to tell you, I don't know. I got it. Like I said, with
if those Muslims are not with our way of life.
Exactly. We are the most, we are ordered to honor, as long as not immoral and, mm-hmm. and outside of the rules of Islam, very wide. But as long as it's not outside the rules, we're ordered to honor their belief system or allow them to practice theirs. Mm-hmm. Like the oldest biblical version, the oldest Bible is actually still in existence because it was in St. Mary's Cathedral in the Sinai. The Vatican has the copy, the Codex Sinaiticus, because the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam ordered us not to destroy the religious institutions and religious buildings and don't kill their monks and their leaders. That book is still in existence because we honor their way of life. Mm-hmm. And that's what we do. We respect all that stuff. The American way of life, as we've joked, if we're going to put the Ten Commandments back on the wall in all these schools and stuff, We've got to teach us when certain commandments are in effect and when they aren't.
You're basically talking about the Sharia law of Moses, because that's another like boogeyman term, like Sharia. Exactly. They're trying to implement Sharia here.
Exactly.
What do you say to that?
That's ideally, if we had a law-abiding society, that's what we're talking about when we say Sharia. We're talking about honoring the rules of don't commit adultery, don't get drunk and abuse people, don't murder, don't thou shalt not covet somebody else's wife. Mm-hmm. You don't do adultery. You honor one God. I mean, the number one, right? That's the mm-hmm. first commandment. You
loving God, right?
Exactly. Yeah. We're all done. So that's literally, there's nothing in the Ten Commandments that we disagree with. Mm-hmm. You're going to put that up on the wall. You'd better, because we've got the our orange-haired leader right now. This guy is a convicted felon. He's a convicted sexual assaulter. He's convicted of all that stuff. So I need to know, based on our way of life here in this country, when do I apply the Ten Commandments and who has to follow the Ten Commandments? Because we're moving right back into, wasn't it George Orwell that wrote that book? The farm, the when the pigs took over and some animal farm, and some they changed their commandments, not to all animals are created equal, but some animals are more equal than others. Mm-hmm. That's where America is headed right now. Tucker is absolutely right. I mean, this.
And I think he can relate a lot to you because you were also Catholic, and then mm-hmm, mm-hmm. then from there you continued on your journey. And we want the same things. But these people like this who are out there, I think many of them are using the excuse of the founding fathers because they say, oh, this is a Judeo-Christian nation. It was founded on Christianity, which is false, actually. If anybody studies, you know, they were deists.
Exactly.
There's a Treaty of Tripoli that says this country was not founded as a Christian nation. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. They actually fled persecution.
Exactly.
Is that right?
Exactly.
So now these people, what are these, like low IQ hillbillies? I don't understand. Like, what do you call people dividing this country? Like, they're really, he hit the nail on the head.
They're
dividing the country.
Yes, they are.
You know, we want the best for our country. We raise our, you know, families here, of course. Mm-hmm, we want mm-hmm. And those things that you listed are destroying this country.
Totally.
OnlyFans and.
Oh, my God. The gambling website.
The gambling and all that stuff. It's like, hey, if you implement it, if we came to a common terms, like, these are the things destroying our country. Mm-hmm, Muslims mm-hmm, want mm-hmm. these things gone. We're on the same page.
Exactly.
It's
literally, we talked a little bit about this earlier, you and I, and I do a lot of functional neurology, and there's a theory of hemisphericity, being right and left hemisphere. Mm-hmm. And what's happening right now is There's a good left hemisphere in the sense that it's usually very pattern-seeking, very goal-oriented, and immediate now, achieve. Mm-hmm. And then the left hemisphere is the big picture. There's a real good book by a, I believe he's Irish, but he, Dr. Ian McGilchrist, called The Master and His Emissary. And he talks about the right hemisphere is being the master, and the left hemisphere gets the job done. So the master says, this is, he's got the big picture. The right mm-hmm. brain is always out there making sure everything works, and what's my long-term goal? And then you move it over to the emissary, and you say, this is the big picture. Now I would like you to start doing these steps to get it done, and the left hemisphere gets it done. So the left hemisphere is about getting things short-term vision and getting it done. And when both hemispheres work well, you've got the empathy, the goal setting, the community win-win situation. The left hemisphere is very goal achieving. It wants it done immediately. And it's a process-oriented left brain as compared to the right brain being people-oriented. And what we have right now is these guys are very corrupted left hemisphere. They are process-oriented in total disregard to the people that they may hurt. For example, this presidency, when it was there before, they passed laws, tax laws, and they're doing it right now that enable the rich and enable their friends, and it hurts the majority of people. The same thing with the idea that the right brain would be more social, the left brain is more selfish, and that's the direction that our leadership is taking, with a total disregard to for good believing non-Muslims mm-hmm. that want things for the benefit of society like we do. Mm-hmm. And gambling and alcoholism and pornography and pedophilia, and right now the big thing is the Epstein files. Mm-hmm. It's really easy. All those names are in there, but they haven't been released yet. Yeah. So who's that benefiting? This targeted small group, or is it more of a right brain empathy thing? Well, it's definitely no empathy there, because they don't care about who got hurt.
More distraction, blame it on the Muslims. There's no Muslims on that Epstein list, is there?
No Muslims on that list.
So I tried to, you know, really have empathy and think like, hold on, many of these people are victims of the hate propaganda. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There's a machine that's being fueled. And I want to get into this next video because this person now is part of that machine. You can see, as Piers Morgan now is going to, it's interesting, Piers Morgan, I mean, he's slowly, I feel, coming around. He's been a little bit more balanced, but he calls out this person in this video, and you see what I'm talking about. And then you can relate to, okay, these are the people who are really trying to push this divide. Let's have a look.
Absolutely.
But if if I was a Muslim listening to this, I'd say, okay, this guy used to be a Muslim, and he says we shouldn't identify as a Muslim. Okay, that's an argument. But you're a Christian convert, so my immediate response would be, if I was one of them, if I was a Muslim, I'd say, well, why do you identify as a Christian then? If you don't want people to be identified by religious labels, why did you convert to Christianity? Why do you call yourself a Christian? It's the same argument, it's just another religion.
Well, this is basically a label that is given to me. I don't identify. How many times we had conversations? I don't identify.
Well, let me ask you: are you a Christian?
I am influenced by the teachings of Yeshua. Okay, this is a very different thing. It inspired me the principle of love thy enemy, of unconditional love, of forgiveness. So these were very important principles when I was finding my way out of Islam.
But are you a Christian or not? Are you a Christian or not?
But here, I don't identify as a Christian.
Okay.
Because what is Christian? What denomination? What book? What fellowship? If I to identify as a Christian, it could be anything. It could be extreme Christian.
Why were you baptized in 2004 as a Christian?
It was a symbolic thing.
But
it
why?
Was a
symbolic why would you thing. Do that?
I did not. It was symbolic. It was a symbolic event. You know, it
symbolic
was a closing chapter.
But surely symbolic of becoming a Christian. That's why you do it.
No, baptism for me, it was symbolic. And I get baptized every day. I have been a yoga practitioner for almost 15 years. Mm. I haven't been to a church for 15 years. Mm-hmm. So now you can also label me by things that I did some 15 years ago.
Well, who do you pray?
I don't pray, because usually when you have to pray, you have to ask for something materialist. I don't pray for anything.
Okay.
I'm responsible for my actions. Mm-hmm. And I don't need much in this life.
Bam. I don't know if you're familiar with this individual. This person, why is this so important? This is so important because this person has been paraded around so many different talk shows. Conservatives have been bringing him on. Christians have been bringing him on. And to this day, I thought he was Christian. He's supposedly an ex-Muslim, fake ex-Muslim. They on all these different podcasts, they bring him on to what? To demonize Muslims, mm-hmm, to bash mm-hmm, Islam. Mm-hmm. But at the end, Piers Morgan exposes him as a fake Christian. He's not even a Christian. Mm. And I mean, you've studied Christianity your whole life. What's this? He got baptized to just for the symbolism. And then he talks, I don't even pray.
Right.
What's your take on this?
That's the craziest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
The idea is, how are they?
What part of the brain is this guy using?
I got to say, there's a joke in functional neurology where you say, on the left, there's nothing right. And on the right, there's nothing left.
No, but what about we go to the Quran?
Yes.
And you described this before. One of the miracles that mm-hmm, Allah, mm-hmm, the creator of heavens and earth, is talking about. We're going to grab them by their lying, sinful
forelocks.
Talk about that.
There.
And I think this guy fits in perfectly what's going to be waiting for him.
Doesn't he?
Talk about that.
With what he just said, he said, obviously he didn't believe in his Islamic upbringing. I'm fine with it. Mm-hmm. And then he says he was baptized for the symbolism, but then he doesn't follow that either. So I'm going to tell you, if he doesn't follow anything, then why would I ask his opinion on anything? Mm-hmm. If he doesn't follow anything, he left Islam, which I think for me is a horrible decision. Number one, because I moved into it. Mm-hmm. And then the fact that he moved to Christianity and he has no reason whatsoever, but he was baptized, which means it's Christianity, not Judaism. And then he didn't commit to anything in Christianity. So, my question would be, why would you even use somebody that is noncommittal to everything to express an opinion? Mm-hmm. And the idea is that, lost my train of thought.
That's the thing, what you just said.
Yes.
Why would you bring him on? But they bring him on. It's like, it's constantly, it's over and over. This guy, if you just put his name, it's all over the place.
Yes.
They just bring him on. He's got to be, he's obviously a paid agent. This mm-hmm, goes back to mm-hmm, what Tucker's mm-hmm. talking about.
Yes.
There's an op for the operation. You need agents. Mm-hmm. There's your agent.
And he's really good, because think about, if you're not committed to anything, then you can say anything. Mm-hmm. And then I would say, believe it or not, lying is in the left hemisphere, because it's not so much lying to other people, which is usually demonstrated, but the idea is left hemisphere will even lie to yourself. AI, for example, we were talking about that, my daughter and I, earlier today, about AI. AI has no right hemisphere at all. There's no empathy. There's no big picture. This gentleman doesn't have any empathy, no big picture, but it's very verbal, and it will say anything to give you an answer. And that's what this guy's ability to do is. He left Islam. He's criticizing it now, but he left it, so he doesn't really have a good understanding of it. He was baptized into Christianity, but he doesn't believe in Christianity, so he doesn't have an understanding of there either. And he never did anything with Judaism, so why would we ask his opinion on anything, including world events? Because remember, religion, God created this world, even if it's a Big Bang theory, and it was... You know, we talk about the God particle in science. Man, science also says nothing poofs into existence out of nothing, which means Allah was always there, and the Quran is clear on the Big Bang. The Quran says the heavens, and the Arabic words are more beautiful, as I've heard them thoroughly explained to me. But the words used is Allah ripped the heavens and the earth apart. That's a Big Bang. They didn't just separate and grow in different directions. They were ripped apart. So it matches, even if it's a God particle, however big that particle was, it exploded into existence, as science says, and it's still expanding due to the explosion. So if this guy isn't basing his discussion on religion, then there's nothing to talk to him about, because he doesn't believe in any of the big three for us.
So he...
Totally left brain.
I mean, cut this here, you know, take this, clip this, and share it for anybody who brings him on, uses him as ammunition. They weaponize what he's saying and just to go ahead and cause more division, like Tucker was saying. So basically, he says Christianity is basically a label. Mm-hmm. He talked about, I don't identify as a Christian. I don't know how much more lucid and clear he can be. Why were you baptized? Piers Morgan goes to ask him. He says it was symbolic, kind of like yogi, compared it to yoga.
Yes, he did.
15 years, he hasn't even been to church. He says, I don't pray. I mean, this is just mind-blowing. I just cannot believe it. This was really, when I saw this, I said, wow, subhanAllah, just Allah, the creator, exposing, you know,
all the time,
these hypocrites, these agents, these people, human devils.
Exactly.
Yeah, they're not, what good are they doing in the world?
Exactly. And that, as we talked about earlier, with when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was first given the message, and the early... The Arabs were really famous for their poetry, their memorization, this brain power stuff. And they used to use poetry to confuse people about what Islam was really about. Mm. Now here you've got these guys, these agents doing this operation, doing these multiple operations to confuse everyone. And as Tucker, as we started with Tucker, the idea is we have more in common than we do difference. We literally can all agree on the Ten Commandments, for example, because that's a big ticket item right now. I don't have any disagreements with that. I don't have any disagreements with the people jump us for polygamy and monogamy. I'm not against monogamy. I don't think I could handle more than one wife. Mm-hmm. It's you know, I mean, think about it. When you're in a relationship, I truly, Allah in the Quran allows me to be monogamous if I want to, because he says, and I'm paraphrasing the Arabic, you would marry one if you but knew. Mm-hmm. So I'm the one that, holy cow, I know now.
But isn't it in some places because you're judging things according to now place and culture you live in? But now, mm-hmm, since you brought this up, I mean, you look at who is idolized in society. This guy, he just passed away not too long ago, but you had the Hugh Hefners in the world,
yes,
right?
Yes.
So one girlfriend, two, three, four, put him in a trunk, put him in the back. Nobody said anything. It's
right,
all good.
Right.
But now you want to go ahead and have a proper injunction where it's with God, you're right.
Exactly.
Right? Abraham, Noah, if you read the Bible, polygyny, this was something that was normal.
Yes, very much.
It was
much
normal.
So.
If you go to some places in the world, like for instance Africa and mm-hmm, other places, mm-hmm, even mm-hmm, back in time, you were less of a man if you didn't have more families.
Exactly.
Is that right?
Exactly. Yes. And in the Quran, in Islam, it's clear if having multiple wives, ours is limited to four.
Not girlfriends and
not,
mistresses.
Definitely not girlfriends.
Epstein Island.
Huge.
These guys need wives, man. Look,
huge point. And most of those guys had wives at the time they were going to Pedophile Island.
Pedophile, exactly.
It's,
yeah,
it's unbelievable that, and we have a president and ex-presidents that are affiliated with that. It's amazing to me. And their biggest supporters are these Christian nationalists, mm-hmm, that ought to be aligning themselves with us. They really, when you, if you really are, if the key is Christian and you want a God-fearing nation, yes, we disagree with worshiping Jesus. And to clear things up, we, like you, expect him to come back and lead the believers.
Second coming, yeah, we believe, yeah.
We've got this joining. And then for the Jewish population that doesn't believe he was the Messiah at the time, when Jesus, if our Jewish audience will allow me to finish this, you have the Messiah will come back. He will be a leader against the enemies of the bad guy, the Antichrist, the Dajjal, whatever you want to phrase. All three of us that truly believe in God will follow Jesus fighting the bad guys and the criminals, the lack of morality. One of the biggest signs for us is the complete acceptance of what we're seeing now, the complete acceptance of a lack of morality. Everybody's allowed to do whatever they want to, and that's in America, right? That's the American way. Everyone's allowed to do what they want to, and we can't criticize anything because we'll be the bad guys, because we're truly following. Muslims truly follow the Ten Commandments more than anyone else does. We just don't have it labeled out.
But we're somehow the enemies.
But we're the enemies.
We're somehow the Antichrist. We believe in Jesus. It's actually anti-Islam to, you can end up in the hellfire saying one disrespectful thing about Jesus, peace be upon him.
Exactly.
But now you have people who are actually Antichrist, and Christians go down there. They just had 1,000+ pastors just go down to this country. Mm-hmm. And now, you know, this place where now they actually, if they had the Sanhedrin, if they had the law that's now in effect there, mm-hmm. Sharia down mm-hmm. there, you know, a country I'm talking about where the pastors, you know, 1,000 pastors went down, mm-hmm. They would actually take them out.
It's part yes.
of, if they didn't believe in the what is it? The nomadic, the seven laws that now they believe that they're idolaters, that the Christians are idolaters,
right.
that. But in the Quran, you're protected, the people of the book.
Yes.
Your religion is safeguarded.
Absolutely.
Your property is safeguarded. You cannot do injustice to the people. But actually, so this is the hypocrisy. And then when we talk about Jesus, peace be upon him, these certain people talk about he's boiling in human excrement, that he's in the hellfire and his mother is had laid down with a Roman soldier. She's a
exactly.
This is disgusting.
Terrible.
Horrible. But we're the enemy. I don't understand that.
Neither do I. I can't. The thing is, when we, my family and I, one of my daughters graduated from Catholic high school, mm-hmm. and one of my sons actually attended the same school, but when she graduated, he got lonely, so he wanted to go back to the public school near our home mm-hmm. with some old friends. The idea is that if you want to do, when you talk about Christianity and let's take the worship, if I can separate it for a sec, take the worship of Jesus out of it. When you look at the belief system, and I've had some real good, one of my favorite people in the whole world was a priest at my Catholic high school. Mm-hmm. And he was just about, and a couple of the sisters that were teachers of mine, some of the most beautiful, nicest, most giving people I've ever met in my life. And these people were beautiful people. And they really exemplified God's mercy and the goodness that Christians profess that Jesus taught. Mm-hmm. And if they would look at the fact that, for example, the Quran, almost every chapter in the Quran starts with, in the name of the most beneficent, the most merciful. Mm-hmm. You can't be more like us than to be generous and giving and forgiving and merciful. And that, with that whole Jesus turned the other cheek in the Bible story, that is our nice side 100%. We should be, that's where we should be bonding. This hatred, this polytheism that they're professing, this insulting Jesus and Mary, and then you've got to go back Mary's whole family, because that would imply her parents raised her to be this way mm-hmm. and to allow this stuff to happen. And for someone, a messenger of God, whether you think he's divine or just a messenger like human, like we do, to tolerate the insults and the slander is just amazing to me. You can't do that in Saudi Arabia. You can't do that in Iraq or Iran. You can't do that in Kuwait. You can't do that in a Muslim country. They wouldn't tolerate those kind of insults on Jesus.
No.
And certainly, and his mother.
Let's show this next clip. And I really commend this person. And you can see here, he traveled, he visited a Muslim majority country. He's looking for commonalities. And this is what you get.
We're at the Arab Cup. And I'm talking to this old guy. And he asked me, he said, Steve, explain milk to me. And I told it to him. He said, what's the purpose? And I said, I want to go around the world and discuss our similarities as opposed to our differences. He said, we are very much the same. And he told me something I just learned this 2 nights ago. He said, Jesus was mentioned in the Quran 25 times. So he said, because we know. Well, it was new to me. It was like an amazing shock to me, because here I am looking for these similarities. Jesus is mentioned in the Quran 25 times, more times than the Prophet Muhammad. I went, wait a minute, what? And he was saying, yes, we don't have a problem with that. We know he existed. That ain't what they teach you. they teach you totally different. Muslims are this, they don't believe in God. They do. They believe in God. Have you ever been over there? Have you ever met these people? When I started traveling, that's how my best friend became a Muslim.
That's what we need, you see? Mashallah. This is really powerful. I mean, most people don't know there's an entire chapter named after Jesus' mother, mm-hmm. Maryam, in the Quran. Mm-hmm. 25 times Jesus is mentioned in the Quran. I would think, like, you love Jesus, you want to know, what are these Muslims saying? Open the book, read it exactly. for yourself. But they spew a lot of this thing that's the op. They push these things out. And what I found is this projection of the things that they do. I'll give you an example, Dr. Mm-hmm. Daniel. So you've heard this term taqiyya, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, so this is something that obviously is not in the Quran and Sunnah. Many attribute this now to some sect of Shia, mm-hmm. whatever the case. And even what I understand is that that's even not being applied properly how they understand it. But we have in Islam, for instance, when the Jews, when they were fleeing the persecution of Christians, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. when Hitler was going after them, we did what was morally right. We protected the Jews and we mm-hmm. said no when they mm-hmm. came knocking on the doors. Are they in the basement? No, they're not. Nobody's here. We put our lives on the line. Muslims put our lives on the line. So that was allowed, that type of lying mm-hmm. to save mm-hmm. innocent mm-hmm. life. Mm-hmm. When your wife cooks you a meal and it's not that delicious and you're like, yeah, it was great, honey. Right? Yes. So when you're trying to reconcile between brothers yes. or family members, sisters with sisters, and you say, no, she loves you and she's speaking mm-hmm. good of you. Mm-hmm. And she didn't actually say that. But to lie, you know, and you can expound on this, lying, this trait of a liar is so despised in Islam, but they're making it as if we're deceivers, we're liars, mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. then you have suspicion, then you're like, everything they say is a lie. Now, here's my point. Look, you get one of these, did you see recently in Texas, they had the person who had decapitated pig and he had the Quran in his mouth. Mm-hmm. Did you mm-hmm. see that?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, this guy was actually, he came here. He's like the new... He's growing and people are following his following is growing. He's becoming almost a new leader for these extreme, what do you want to call them, Christian, because they're actually anti-Christian. They're not really mm-hmm. following Christianity yeah. properly. So he's their follower. Many say he's an agent because there's pictures of him kissing the wall. Jacob the liar Lang. And he was actually here. He came here. And people should watch the video where we expose him because he came here. I got here and they just escorted him. Why? Because they recognized that he was the guy who just was terrorizing the people in Detroit. And this wasn't a Muslim only event. It was right. live stream, right. number one. It was live stream. Mm-hmm. And anyone can come. We had a Christian pastor here. We had some other Christians here. And they attended. The theme was shukr, gratefulness to God,
yes.
Thanksgiving weekend. So this guy comes in, he's allowed in, even though it was kind of suspicious. He actually dressed in a khamis, that's like a Pakistani Desi style
right.
thobe, and it's cultural, but he wanted to identify fake like he's Muslim. So yeah. he's the one actually doing taqiyya of their version.
Yeah,
he's deceiving, he comes in, they let him in, then finally what I was told by the witnesses that someone said, no, that's the guy from Detroit.
Yeah.
And then they confronted him, said, why are you dressed like this? Why are you pretending to mm-hmm, be a Muslim? Mm-hmm. Now, I want people in the audience, I want people to understand, what if he did these things and went and did the same thing to a synagogue mm-hmm, or in a mm-hmm, church? Imagine mm-hmm, what would happen. Mm-hmm. I asked an attorney, they said the feds would be at his house. If he
all over it.
All these things that he did. So then they asked him that, and then he did his whole spiel. He got up and he made a scene, and they asked, nicely escorted him out, said, come on, you know, it's time to go. But then he goes on these conservative podcasts, and he starts making up stuff. He said they're recruiting military-style age men.
He was actively recruiting military-aged men.
He lied because I've been here the past 3 days, and they're kind of doing different events, just educating people on Islam and kind of going over specifically, like, family values and, like, ways that, you know, the spouse to treat one another, being grateful for certain things in light of Islam.
They made it seem like it was a political conference. Mm-hmm, no, he mm-hmm. infiltrated it, and then that he was Mamdani's manager.
And then I told them this to get in. This is the best you're going to hear. I told them I was Zoran Mandami's social media campaign manager.
And then when he said that, we rushed him to the stage. I'm telling you this, but you think, yeah, man, you're yeah. making it up. But there's video. You can watch the mm-hmm. video. Mm-hmm. His own words.
Yeah.
And then we rushed him to the stage to speak because we thought he's Mamdani's manager. Lie after lie after yeah. lie. So now he's talking about like he's some born again Christian. Mm-hmm. I said, what mm-hmm. did the Holy Ghost leave you? I mean, what's happening? How does someone you accuse? That's what that projection is.
Yes.
You have those evil qualities, and you're projecting it. This deceit, this deception, and lies. And this guy's doing. He's got a following. They're mm-hmm, showing up mm-hmm. with a decapitated pig's head, and he's saying, "You remember Vlad the Impaler?"
Yeah, yeah.
He's saying that, you know what? Let me let you. You didn't hear his speech on this.
No,
let me
no,
let
I didn't.
You hear it,
please.
Here is your kryptonite. We will drive you to the sea, across the sea, back to where you came from, with pigs in our hands. And Jesus in our hearts. You cannot stand against the strength of white American men. You Muslims need to go home before we send you packing. I suggest you leave now before the crusades really start. As it's well known, Vlad the Impaler only had to impale a few, the rest left by themselves. Right?
So we know back from where my family's from in Bosnia, mm-hmm, we know mm-hmm. what these type of words
lead to.
And he's mentioning crusades. Mm-hmm, we know what mm-hmm. the crusades did. Blood up into the ankles of the horses. When they left, there was nothing good. When they came there and just, you know, everybody was...
Rape, pillage, and burn.
Yeah, it's Samuel 1:15. Mm-hmm, they went mm-hmm. in there from the Bible and mm-hmm. they execute. So this guy's actually saying, and the Vlad the Impaler from Romania.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
He's
yeah.
mentioning
yeah,
him.
Yeah.
What do you think? What's going on, the thought process? What are you thinking?
Think about what this guy's doing. Number one, from what I understand, and the Jews may not like his affiliation, but I've heard he's actually Jewish. Again, he's pretending to be a Christian. And this is the same guy that is wants to push us out. Thank God I'm a white American, I guess.
Where are you supposed to go?
But I know I'm in. It's just going to float in the water because I can't be accepted anywhere.
Yeah.
But the idea is that let's remember who brought Judaism back after the Crusades. When we conquered Jerusalem, Khalid bin Walid, and the caliph at the time was Umar, radiallahu anhu, and the caliph shows up, he meets the Christian leadership, and he says the only people that have to leave are your soldiers and your political figures.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're done. I mean, we've captured it. You give us the keys, and the long story short, he gets the keys, and he says, okay, they say, okay, this is the Christians, this is this. Where's the temple? Because as Muslims, we know Solomon, David, that it's in our book too. There's a temple. There's a building. It's there. This is supposed to be there under David and Solomon. And the Christian leader at the time, the not the Pope, but the bishop or the cardinal, whatever it was, yes. his title was at that time, he says, well, we destroyed it, and now we use it as a garbage dump.
Wow.
And it's over there. Umar, radiallahu anhu, started cleaning up himself. All the soldiers rushed in, and they started cleaning up. And then Umar said, where's the Jewish section?
Yeah.
And the Christian leader said, we got rid of all of them when we took over.
Sophronius, yeah, the patriarch. Okay, yeah,
yes, the patriarch. That's what I was looking for. He said, we got rid of all of them. And Umar said, this is Jerusalem. It doesn't matter who's in charge. I'm paraphrasing. It doesn't matter who's in charge. All three of us are supposed to be here. And he ordered his general, and Khalid bin Walid, radiallahu anhu, sent his soldiers out. And they grabbed up, and he said, we need a minimum. I don't know how this number came about. But he said, you need to grab up 80 Jewish families, ask them if they want to come back, and you settle them in and keep them safe.
Basically, repopulated Jerusalem.
Repopulating Jerusalem with Jews. And here's this guy wanting to chase us out. And we put Jerusalem the way it was supposed to be, with Muslims, Christians, and Jews that the Christians pushed out. It's not a Judeo-Christian religion.
Yeah.
And this guy, I mean, talk about the glow-in-the-dark lying hypocrisy. I mean, and then our kryptonite. Really? We do not have kryptonite. those of us like yourself who believe La ilaha illallah Muhammad or Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that we don't have kryptonite. There is nothing. Look at what happened in Australia with Brother Ahmed El Ahmed, saving those helpless people. And we know they were Jews, but the idea is he threw himself out there, he got shot, and he saved those people. Mm-hmm. Just like Umar radiallahu anhu brought Jews back in and made it a three-religion city, this brother was jumping out there in front of, in the Quran, they make a big deal about the Old Testament and saving one person as if you save the whole world. We've got the same version. We've got that exact same line in ours. You save one, or is it a hadith? It's but we've got that in our religion.
Which one?
The you save one person, it's as if you save the whole world.
532, yeah, chapter 5, verse 32. Yeah.
They're Quranic. It's literally written in our religious text that this is what we do, and this is what the brother and this is what Umar radiallahu anhu did. This is what the early Muslims did. And this is what we're still doing today. And Australia is a perfect example as compared to these lying, thieving hypocrites that are on the American TV.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is really mind-blowing it's being this kind of hate rhetoric.
Mm-hmm.
And again, imagine a Muslim, if he went with some kind of abbreviated version of the Talmud and he went to a synagogue and try to do that stuff, they would take him out. I mean,
hate crime, hate speech, threatening.
Yeah. It'd be done.
It would.
Yeah, but somehow it's a free-for-all for Muslims.
It's okay with us. We are the new Native Americans here.
Uh-huh.
Literally. I mean, when the Europeans arrived, just took a whole country, right? I mean, even half the U.S., the western half was Mexico's until we had that big fight. The idea is that literally we have become, for Americans, we have become the new black folks. We've become the new Native Americans. When we brought all the Chinese over to work on the railroad, we are a very overt minority in terms of our religious beliefs. And we are the new persecuted. Mm-hmm. But we don't apply that to ourselves because we know we're relying on Allah. We've seen it before in Islam. They persecuted us at the beginning and they're going to persecute us at the end.
Let's go ahead and take a break and we'll be right back. Say he is Allah, God, the one and only, the absolute, the eternal. He is not the father of anyone, nor was he father, and there is nothing comparable to him.
Islam is about granting the rights to everybody, irrespective of their religion.
This is the book of guidance, sure without doubt, for those who fear Allah.
That the best of guidance is the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the worst of matters are new practices in the deen. Every new practice is an innovation. Every innovation is in the hellfire.
The greatest miracle is the preservation of the Quran that has not changed in over 1400 years.
Justice doesn't belong solely to the Muslims alone. It also belongs to the Jews and the Christians.
Your purpose of life is all of that exists. Who brought it here? And how do you acknowledge the one that had brought it, that has given it to you? That's the purpose of life.
Islam has changed, William, in the most amazing ways. Most amazing ways. I'm devastated by what I've seen here. I'm absolutely devastated. And thank you for hosting this. Thank you for doing this.
They're just looking for a reaction. They're looking for trouble. We're here to educate humanity. And you see, brothers and sisters, what we're up against. But alhamdulillah, we're going to continue striving to get the Dawah Center, the educational center, open so we can go ahead and educate humanity on the most misunderstood way of life. We need your support right now. Assalamu alaikum.
And back with Dr. Daniel McBride, who spent a great part of his life studying Christianity, Catholic school, Christian college, Hall of Famer, focusing a lot now on neurology, the brain, and that book, author also, Who's Right, Who's Wrong, and Why. I think that book covers a lot of these things that now are happening because certain people think they're right, others are wrong, back and forth. You went through that whole journey. Mm-hmm. Let's discuss a little bit about the book and back a little bit your journey and connect it to how it can be a solution for anybody who reads the book to get answers to what's happening, you know, right now, this climate and and the tension, and how do you think it can answer many questions that people have about Islam and purpose of life?
The book was actually initially a series of speeches for Muslims who were at the masjid when I was living in South Florida, and with my educational background and the exposure I had, a lot of the brothers and sisters would ask me, why do they believe this, why do they believe that? And I'd literally look it up. We put together, I believe it's 13 chapters of answering questions. And the first 13 are, or the first 12 are to literally look at, for example, the birthright ignored is a chapter. And that is about Abraham, Sarah, Hajra, Ishmael, and Isaac. And the Old Testament, and if I can see, being a non-religious scholar, if I could see how these things, and then I had to read the Old Testament and the New Testament, and how does it, if some of this, because the Quran in Islam teaches that there was an Old Testament, there was an Injil, there was, or Talmud, the Old Testament, I apologize, I can't remember the Jewish name for it.
Oh, you mean the Torah?
Torah, I'm sorry, thank you. The Torah, the Injil or the Gospel, and then the Quran. So I said, well, if this is the Torah, if the Old Testament's the Torah, let me read through it and see what makes sense to me according to the Quran now that I'm in Islam. And let me read through the Injil to see what makes sense to me in accordance with Islam. And I compared the Quran to those books. And again, the birthright ignored. You've got Abraham and the two wives and the two sons. And the Old Testament and Exodus and Deuteronomy, and it over and over again, it talks about the right of the firstborn. And you even got the right of the first. Allah is entitled to the first fruit, to the first birth from the different cattles. You've got, even the first wine that is fermented for the community is actually dedicated to God, the Old Testament God, first. The right of the firstborn is clear, including it says the right of the firstborn because, Jacob talking to his sons says, you're my firstborn, you sit here because you are my strength and I'm paraphrasing, strength and my future and blah, 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 blah. Everything is the firstborn. Then you have, and I said, why don't they accept Ishmael? And it's, why is it Isaac? And the two arguments are, it was an illegitimate birth, and then they chose to go against the word of God. Neither one of those makes sense, right? And it was, the third one, before the circumcision. Ishmael was born before the circumcision in the Old Testament. So you've got all these verses saying it's the firstborn no matter what, until we get to Ishmael and Isaac. And I said, that doesn't make any sense. Let's look at how can I explain this to a Christian and how do I help a Muslim understand that? Then you've got, they said, well, the illegitimacy. Well, there's a verse in the Quran, in the Bible, stuck for Allah. You've got a verse in the Bible that actually where Sarah says to Abraham, I have not been able to have a child throughout our 60 years of marriage, whatever it was at the time. Make Mary, literally take my handmaiden, my Egyptian handmaiden, marry her, and maybe I can have a child through her. You know, that community, the polygamy, the children of the husband, the children of the father are the children of the house.
Yes.
Every parent in there. So the birth legitimacy is there. Then you have, what about before the circumcision? Well, if the covenant, the circumcision signified the covenant with Allah, with God in the Bible. So if Abraham's circumcision is accepted, and all the male members of Abraham's house, their circumcision is accepted as a covenant sealing moment with God, why isn't Ishmael's? Now all of a sudden you got Ishmael doesn't count because he was born before the circumcision. Well, that means Abraham's not getting into heaven because he was born long before the covenant. None of the men in his house are going to, and the only people are the children of them. That doesn't make sense either. So Ishmael's birthright is still there, right? And then you've got those are the big two out of the big three. You can't talk about illegitimacy. You can't talk about, and then they say Sarah and Abraham, Ishmael doesn't count because Sarah and Abraham, picture this, went outside of God by encouraging him to marry Hajra and have a child with her. And that was outside of God's plan. Like, the book knows more about God's plan than God does. You can't go outside of God's plan as a prophet and a messenger. Mm-hmm. And Sarah stood by her husband for that many years, and now they chose to go outside the plan of God. So the book tries to tie that in, and then I add, that's why something had to come from the line of Ishmael. Then we move into other chapters, and we tied all of it together that way, so that I'm using their words and their stories and their chapters to show them how their books should be leading them to Islam, like it led so many of us other converts.
Let's tackle that question here for people. They're listening to us now, and the main message of Islam is worship the creator, not the creation, that pure, absolute monotheism, worshiping the God of Jesus, not Jesus. Mm-hmm, and people can identify with that. Yes. I think they did a poll, a study that over 50% of Christians, when they're asked, what do you think about Jesus? Many Christians, they said, well, he's a good teacher, a prophet. Well, actually, you're closer to Islam.
Exactly.
And now, what are the proofs? But there's so much, because of this op, like Tucker was talking about, money that is pushed into this hate machine. And obviously, they're going to, like they did about Jesus. You think they spoke good things about Jesus at his time?
Exactly.
Do you think they spoke good things about Moses at his time? They're going to smear. They're going to throw mud on his name. They're going to slander. That's the same thing they're doing to Prophet Muhammad. So how can someone be sure that he is a messenger, that the Quran is the verbatim word of God Almighty? From someone like you, what advice would you give them? What would you say, some points that they can go ahead and continue, a catalyst to go ahead and have them go deeper into looking at it, to trigger them to really think more? Because again, you're somebody, white American, Christian background. It's like, why? What? This guy put it all on the line. It wasn't easy. It was a struggle, right? You had to now change a lot of things. You know, you had to put up with a lot, I'm sure, from family and friends and others. Like, they start looking at you different. So it's an uphill battle, but the truth is worth that. Exactly. So people are listening now. What do you tell them?
It's easy. And some of the things that are even better than my words. Literally, you can Google, and I learned this later. Like I said, I read the Quran. I got halfway through. I believed in the monotheistic, the omnipotent, omniscient, omni-everything, the all-believing, all-powerful, all-knowing God. That's what I got from Christianity. Islam, that's all we talk about. There is no praying to anybody else. We may throw additions, like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, may Allah peace and blessings be upon him, and did it. And we say things about other people because we want them to be blessed even more, but we don't worship anyone else. There's a real great speech that Jafar, J-A-F-A-R, search it up, all the people that don't know, that describes why the Quraysh, the non-Muslim early persecutors of the early believers in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Jafar's speech to Nejus, N-E-G-U-S is usually the way it is, or N-E-J-U-S, Jafar's speech says, we were persecuted in Mecca, we were punished because we wanted to treat the poor, we didn't eat the poor, meaning we didn't eat up their wealth, we didn't take advantage of them. We wanted to maintain the ties of kinship. We wanted to be good. We wanted to get rid of calling chaste women unchaste. Jafar's speech describes the religion and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a nutshell. I actually have it written down in my computer, and I look at it all the time, where he is describing, and then he finishes with tying it to Christianity, because Nejus was a Christian king of a Christian country. The old school Christian. And
who the Muslims went when they were persecuted.
Exactly.
To this just king. They didn't go take over the society or nothing.
Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells Jafar, take these persecuted believers that are really, they can't handle it anymore. They're really going after this group. He says, take them over to here, because he is, like you said, he is a just king and he will protect you.
Yes.
And then when the non-believers come, they want their family members back because they want to persecute them and punish them even more, and they don't want the message to spread. And this just king, this Christian just king, asks Jaffer to give his opinion, and he asks the non-believers to say what they say. And Jaffer's speech, the just king says, this man is absolutely right, and we're going to keep these people here. You guys leave. We're going to protect these people, mm-hmm. and they're safe to live in my kingdom. That's what a lot of these early Christians understood with us. That's why it spread so well without the spreading by the sword. All those, if you look at the battles, I mean, we were attacked and defending ourselves almost the whole first, 100 years or so? With certainly during the lifetime of the Prophet, everything was a defensive battle. And you literally have this just Christian king defending us because what he heard about us and learned from our behavior and what he saw was so in alignment with the way he treated his people and the Christianity that he knew. That's where that speech by itself summarizes everything I believe. And of course, the final sermon of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam at Arafat. Those two by themselves, people, you should search those up. I have them on my computer, and I remind myself, because Jaffer's words, radiallahu anhu, are better than mine, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam certainly is better than I am, and his final speech summarizing everything that Islam is and how we should behave, and then Jaffer describing Islam and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Those two speeches are just by themselves, by two people that all of us look up to.
And you're the type of person now that people like. This is also something that I often think about. If you want to, it's one thing asking questions to learn, sincere questions. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, we invite mm-hmm. that. Not asking questions to insult, because exactly. you got all insulting going on. But people like Tucker have shown that this is someone you can sit and talk with.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
There's also Candace Owens. Have you mm-hmm. heard of Candace
yeah.
Owens?
Oh, one of my daughters listens to her stuff all the
yeah,
time.
So Candace, go ahead and invite Dr. Daniel on. Tucker, you're in Florida. These are the type of people that you need to talk to. Americans, get their stories. Why? What are your concerns? Let's discuss. Don't let the other people go ahead and represent us. Talk to us.
Well, that's why I like dialoguing with you all the time. It's a discussion, and it's a sharing of information. It's an answering of questions, and it's not emotional rhetoric and emotional nonsense, and it's not you, inshallah, myself. We know Allah is watching us. I'm not worried about the audience. You're not worried about the audience. We know Allah is watching us. He's going to grade us, and he's going to reward or punish us. And that oversight, having your supervisor, imagine your supervisor at work, and our life is our work. Imagine our supervisor is grading our work every minute of the day. That's what we are as Muslims. We know God is grading our work every minute of every day. He knows our hearts better than we do. He knows our minds better than we do. He knows our intentions. Isn't that awesome? In Islam, you get rewarded for thinking of a good deed and doing it. You get rewarded for just thinking of it. You get rewarded for, and I'll say the whole sentence real fast, thinking of a good deed but not doing it. You get rewarded for not doing the shaitan, the Satan's whispering in your mind. You get rewarded for not doing it. That's whenever I see you and you're doing interviews, I'm thinking, man, he knows Allah is watching right now. And that's where, how we can say what we do.
Yeah, and you mentioned Allah in Aramaic, the language Jesus spoke, it wasn't Latin, it was Aramaic. And people can look this up.
Mm-hmm,
he
mm-hmm.
called God Allah.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
we say he called on Allah, because
yes.
it doesn't take too much to put the two together. Allah, Allah, this
exactly.
is the creator.
Exactly.
Yeah, so you're calling on the one creator that Jesus called upon. Someone asks, but who's dying for your sins? Because people believe that Jesus died for your sins. I asked you this before.
I love that question.
Yeah, and you answered it brilliantly. What do you say again, for those that didn't see that
That's,
interview before?
That is the craziest thing I've ever heard. How can you think that God is going to punish? Make it personal. Like, this stuff is, everything I say is personal.
Mm-hmm.
You ask me questions, it's personal. How do you think God is going to punish me for the sins he did? Or punish children? We have children. Why would God punish your child for something you did? Why would he punish you for something your adult, for example, adult child did? You know what I'm, it's God, the Quran is clear. God doesn't burden us with more than we can handle. And handling everyone else's sins, literally, it's and you can tell who believes that. Because right now, they're darn near running the world. They all think they can get away with everything. They think there's going to be no rewards or punishments. They think it's all done right here. You and I, your children and my children, this, our families, we know there is going to be a final call for us. Thinking that the biblical Jesus died for our sins, of which I haven't committed yet, and then all the people can say, well, God knew you were going to commit it. Well, if he died for my sins, then let me start committing sins, right? It's easy. They're easy distractions. But I know that's not the case. And then all the people before Jesus, why was Moses here? Why was Aaron here? Why was Abraham here? And blah, blah. And they all, and the same answer, well, they were prepping us for Jesus. Jesus and that ultimate sin and death thing is such a great override that he doesn't need any preparation. There's just, all you have to do is believe this one guy died for your sins and you're good to go. And that's the way, I got to tell you, the biggest believers in that phrase are the people running things right now. Mm-hmm. It really is. And the ones that are fighting against us who say, you are going to be accountable for what you do. Mm-hmm. Brother Eddie, I'm going to be accountable for cutting people off in traffic to drive here, going home whether I was polite or whether I was rude. I'm going to be held accountable. When people think that Jesus died for their sins, that's such an easy way not to be accountable for anything you think or do. It's literally Jesus died for that. Okay, these guys committed these murders recently, all these school shootings, this Australia shooting, all this, that, and the other thing. What's going on in Gaza right now? Jesus died for your sins. We're good. So that means the Jews are okay because they don't believe in your Jesus or your God? But Jesus died for your sins. Where's the line drawn? You know, it's just, that's the most absurd statement that they ever did. And there's no way God is going to burden one person for something I chose to do.
Mm-hmm. I was recently interviewed by a Jake Shields. I don't even know who he is. And we discussed this point about original sin and then contrast that with original goodness, where we believe that every child mm-hmm. is born pure. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. When you get to a certain age, puberty, then you're accountable for your sins. Mm-hmm. He's like, wow, that actually makes sense. And that makes sense to just the average person who hasn't been indoctrinated exactly. with this story. But again, not to disrespect or disparage on anybody's mm-hmm. religion. Mm-hmm. I mean, but this is just where actually you need to consider. Consider this is what all the prophets and Jesus taught, mm-hmm. Personal accountability. And this makes sense. The Father shall not bear the iniquities of the Son, nor the Son of the Father. Everyone's responsible for himself. This is a direct verse from the actual Bible.
Right, right. And you think about that, all that original sin phrase is nonsense because there is a first sin. We're cool with that. They disobeyed God. What's the difference between Adam and Eve, particularly from a Muslim point of view? Look at the devil is thrown out of heaven and Adam and Eve are both thrown out of heaven. They're let's pretend that's the same. The devil is what we consider a jinn, a shaitan. He's created. His creation is from mm-hmm. fire. Angels are from pure light, and humans are from pure earth. So Adam and Eve and the devil all committed a sin. The angels don't commit sins. They all get thrown out of heaven. Why is the devil still going to be punished, and why is he still the bad guy? Mm-hmm. Well, and in the Quran, we have that answer. For Christians and Jews, please look this up in the Quran. What was the shaitan's answer to God when he was asked why he did that? And the shaitan blamed God for his fault. Mm-hmm. He said, you knew me, you did this, you. The Quran says, why were Adam and Eve, and type in, why were Adam and Eve forgiven? Because they say, please forgive us, for we harmed ourselves.
Accountability.
And it's if you did it to me, then I can't change that because you can still do it to me. But the free will and the battle the argument battle is, if God knows everything and this is going to happen and God's always in control, then there's no free will. The free will is clear. I don't know what I am going to do next. Now, if I choose to sin or to do a good deed, I don't know I'm going to do it until that choice arrives. Allah already knows what I'm going to do and what choice I'm going to make and leaves me out there. So now I choose to do good. He rewards me accordingly. I choose everything's evil and I'm a polytheist and he rewards me accordingly. But Adam and Eve chose to accept the blame. And if you don't forgive us, we are lost. They repented for their sins and they were forgiven. The devil didn't repent. He pointed fingers. That's what you see with the videos you've showed us. All these bad guys that we've talked about, they're always pointing fingers. They don't take any accountability. There's not enough Muslims in America to have us start plummeting in the worldview that is happening right now. There's more non-Muslims here than there are Muslims. We can't wreck America the way the people that are wrecking it are doing it. They outnumber us. We're just a small percentage. The same thing with immigrants and stuff. Everybody's a small percentage is compared to the people, the 30% or 40% that support the president in that bad decision making. You've got to take personal accountability, just like Adam and Eve did in the Quran, and I'm sure in an original Bible somewhere. They didn't blame God for this. Mm-hmm. They literally got punished in the Bible I read, or I reference all the time. They get punished and they accept their punishment. And for me, that always implied, well, maybe they, you know, because they accepted their punishment and their repentance, and they'll be punished and then they get back into heaven, right? Mm-hmm. Allah tells them they're going to be rewarded. Mm-hmm. But it's like you said, it's personal accountability, and that dying on the cross for us and everything that's happening today, these people are pointing fingers and no one's taking accountability except us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. Anybody looks into Islam, submission to the will of God. That's what it means. A Muslim is one who submits his or her will to the will of God. Personal accountability, pure monotheism. That's the way we're upon. Trying to be morally upright. You make mistakes, you're a human being. But the door for repentance is always open. But you seek it directly, direct dial up to the Creator alone. Exactly. And strive your best to Definitely. Attain God's mercy. And that's what we're trying to do, sharing this message with the people. Where can people get the book?
You can go to drmcbride.com. It is printed in a PDF, or you would print it in a PDF and order it and print it. And then you can certainly make notes and then reach out to us or ask questions. Reach out to us. You can certainly reach out to me on YouTube and the different social medias and here at The Dean Show also.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Daniel. It's good to have you. Hopefully we'll have you back again.
Inshallah.
Thank you. Inshallah. Jazakallah. And thank you guys for tuning in. I want to get you a gift from me to you. Go to thedeanshow.com and read this book as a potential book from the Creator of the heavens and earth, the Quran. We know it's from the Creator, but you look at it as a potential book, and I'm giving it from me to you as a gift, thedeanshow.com. We'll see you next time. Until then, peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.